everybody. Welcome to Drive Through HR. Happy effing Friday. That's all I got to say. I mean, this is going to be a show to remember. And it is Friday, and it has been a tremendous week that is all good, but it was a hard-fought battle, which the ass was kicked by somebody else or something like that. How about that? So, anyway, Brian Wimpen and William Tincup, I think it's just going to be me today, but we've compensated with having a kind of a quick, fast new friend that we just met yesterday, and we're going to talk about how amazing the Twitters are for those of you who have any doubts here very shortly. And first of all, thank you to my partners over at PeopleClues for supporting the show, peopleclues.com. Great assessment play. Check them out. First time on the show, my new BFF, Jody Thompson. Welcome to Drive Through HR.
Hey, Brian. It's really great to be here today. It's so funny that we just met yesterday on Twitter, and here we are. We're going to rock the house today with this conversation. Can't wait.
I'm pretty freaking excited because, you know, we actually pieced together that we might have met somewhere in the past. There was a chance. So that's damn near related. That's all I'm
saying. I know.
Say.
It was like a face-to-face encounter somewhere. So that's even better, huh?
I swear, and I think I was inspired. If I ever remember completely that we met, I'm pretty sure that I would think I was inspired. I know
I
was.
Hey, Brian, you said above average. That's what I heard. That's what I heard.
Well, you know, and this, I see a lot of presentations. So if you hit above average, that has a good chance of being inspiring. So how's that? Does that help? Does that help take the edge off?
It helps a little bit. I'll stay on the show for a few more minutes.
Oh, that's all I asked. Just 10 minutes. That's all. Well, very cool. If you would introduce yourself, and we'll start there, and from there we'll kind of we'll free flow it a little bit, and ultimately we'll get to what keeps you up at night at some point in the next few minutes.
That sounds great. Again, I'm Jody Thompson. I am the co-creator of the Results Only Work Environment with my partner Callie Ressler. She's at Callie Ressler on Twitter. And we actually have an organization today, Culture RX, and we help train organizations in adopting the results-only work environment. We also have a book out, Why Work Sucks and How to Fix It, and another book coming out next year, Why Managing Sucks and How to Fix It.
Well, I was looking through actually very quickly looking through the website, excited about some of the new things you're doing, the new book coming out, because everything so far, the stuff that I've read and just the interactions I've had and people's responses to it has been nothing but positive, you know, by the way, when it comes to Roe in general. It's a pretty big thing. I don't know if you guys knew that. I mean, it's like your business and your legacy and stuff, but other than that, it's a pretty big thing. A lot of people talk about it. A lot of people know about it.
Yeah, we've been at this for a few years, and it's funny because when we say, you know, this is really a big change, this is something that's going to, you know, really flip things in this century, people look at us like, who do you think you are, right? What do you think you're doing? So we stop talking about it. We stop talking about it as a culture change, and we'll be going through a training, and about halfway through, somebody will go, did you guys know you're changing culture? And we're like, yep. And you know what? If you just let people figure it out on their own, they can see the change when they're in it. But it's kind of hard to say, you know what, you're gonna completely change the way you think, the what you believe. Everything's going to change. And is it utopia? Yeah, I think it is.
Could not agree more with that. The, you know, the thing that's interesting, and before we go into that, before we dive too deep into that, I want to just, I would love for you to tell people, one, just how we met and how you're, you know, what facilitated you being a guest today on Drive Through HR, because it's a cool story.
Well, you know, I didn't really know you, Brian, about 36 hours ago, and yesterday I got an email from Callie, and she said, I added you to this conversation with Brian, and, you know, we might want to get on his show next year. It'd be really great with the book coming out, and he's a great guy. And I thought, okay, so I got into the feed and actually started to converse with you. And, boy, today you're like, hey, why don't we do something crazy? My guest who's not going to be on the show, what do you think about hopping on? And it's really that simple. I mean, this is how things are moving in this century. It's not about sitting down and having a bunch of meetings. Can Jody get on? Should Jody get on? Who needs to approve Jody getting on? It's just a whole different world. And, you know, this is just the first day. We're going to have a lot of fun over the next few years.
I love your attitude. And I'm already asking, like, personal guidance on via email, like, hey, we're going to be in Minneapolis, you're in Minneapolis, tell us where to, you know, where to stay, where to eat, you know, who should I not talk to if I see them. I mean, I'm getting the down low on Minneapolis, right? And literally, we have this 36-hour relationship that's like already starts at the stratosphere. That's probably the thing that I love the most, especially with, you know, real hard-charging people that have a somewhat decent sense of humor. You can pretty quickly get to the intersection of having a lot of fun, right? So,
exactly.
Which pre-show, we had some fun in pre-show. We laughed.
We did.
So, very good. Let's thank you for sharing that. I just think it's I absolutely love the Twitters, because it just helps, you know, it's like you said, it's, we don't need to be at a conference. We don't need an introduction. It doesn't need to be through the channels. We literally like, cool idea. Can we make it happen? Yep, it works. Bam. You know, we're talking about literally what keeps you up at night relative to people, talent, just in general. What's sticking with you and top of mind right now?
Okay, Brian, I'm going to let you have it now.
Sweet, bring it.
Here is what's keeping me up at night and keeping Callie up at night as well. People in 2012 are still talking about flexibility and telework. Flexible schedules and telework are so old-fashioned as some sort of solution to what we're trying to do today. So we're trying to say, okay, we need to help people manage their work life. We need to figure out a way that people can be more productive. But flexible work is just one more managed program that's managed by managers to manage people, not the work. And that is so frustrating to us, because when you think about adults in the workplace, why should I have to ask permission to come into the office at 9 o'clock or leave at 2 o'clock or whatever? It instantly makes me a child, and it sets the whole environment up as paternalistic. We're focused on the wrong things. We need to start focusing on what matters, and what matters is, what is the work? And that's the conversation I need to have with you, not anything about how I spend my time. That is what's keeping me up at night, this tired old telework conversation.
Well, I could not agree more with that, because it is beyond tired. But my job today is to be the contrarian, because I know you're deep in the domain, and you've been evangelizing this way before it was cool, because you knew it was the right thing to do. So I'm on the other side of it saying, okay, that's great. Yeah, it's totally perfect case scenario, but like 80% of the environments out there, it would be absolutely insane, and my business would fail, my customers would hate me if we trusted people to do what they were supposed to do.
Well, you know, I think, Brian, probably the most difficult things is for managers and the people that work with managers to be very clear about what the expectations are in terms of the work and how to measure it. I think when managers start to get that feeling of, well, we can't just let people do whatever they want whenever they want, to be complete chaos. Well, the feeling is, if I don't control people's time, they won't do the work and they won't focus on what's important, which is the customer. That's what we see all the time when we're working with our clients. The fear is that we really can't trust people, and that if we treat them like adults, they won't act like adults. Bottom line is, we're finding that managers out there are not getting clear about what the outcomes are and what the results are and how to measure them, and that makes people feel like they need to control time and physical presence. That's something we can do. That's easy to do. it's not as easy to get everybody clear about what the measurable outcome is of the work.
What are the ingredients that are missing here? Because it's, you know, just to give a little bit of context to that, because I, you know, Brian speak is a whole other language that not many people are fluent in. So for the entrepreneurial, like, business people and people that are serial entrepreneurs, I mean, it's mission critical. You have to have people that, I mean, literally are hardwired with row, right? That's literally because you have so many things going on and you need everybody that is thinking about what's the model, right? You've got to evolve so quickly. You can't have people sitting around going, okay, you got to tell me what to do. God, that just doesn't work. So what are the ingredients for, like, mainstream business? Pick a vertical, don't generalize, it's all good, that people can start figuring out, how do I put trust in place or how do I put communication in place to be able to start to get to, you know, this utopia? Because I couldn't imagine being any other place. I really, truly, that sounds like a prison sentence, quite frankly, if I'm not, you know, doing what you guys talk about every day.
Well, you know, it takes really shifting the whole mindset of the culture. That's why when we go into companies and we train, it's not something you can just go in there and say, start trusting your people. I mean, basically the way work is set up today is that we mistrust people. We say things like, you know, gee, you know, another long lunch, or are you leaving early again? Or, you know, those people with kids, they just don't work as hard as the rest of us. All of these judgments that are in the workplace today are not about the work. We're judging each other based on what we think somebody's getting more than we are, or somebody's getting more time off than we are. We're always so worried about that, and what managers are trying to do is accommodate everybody so everybody feels like things are fair. The only thing that's fair, that levels the playing field, is giving people complete control over their time and getting really clear about measurable results. Now, how can companies do that? You might say, well, my company, you know, people have to actually be there because we have customers that come in. Now, let me just say that we worked with an organization. It was a public organization. And when we started to work with them, they had to be, you know, at a site. They had people that came in every day. And they were backlogged by 1,500 pieces of work in order to reach their outcome. 3 weeks after they were completed with their training, they went from 1,500 to 132 pieces. Why? Because they weren't focused on the activity anymore of, we have to come in every day and put in our, you know, 7.75 hours, and who gets to work from home and all of that stuff. They actually started to focus on what the outcome of their work was, which was, you know, making sure that the customer got their needs met. Well, when they started looking at it that way, how they did their work wasn't about putting in time. It was they were flexible on how they thought about work, not the time. And it changed everything in how they looked at who they were, and they became intrinsically motivated. We actually worked with a child care center as well. And watching how they flipped from checklists to being intrinsically motivated to, you know, doing what their job is, which is helping form the future citizens of our country. I mean, that's a big job. But if I'm thinking about the cleaning checklist every day and making sure I'm there, you know, on time, and if I'm even 10 seconds late, I get written up, they're not focusing on the most important thing, and that's delivering the citizens of the future and working with parents to do that. So when people say we can't be row at our company, here's what they're saying, Brian. We can't focus on results here.
Well, that's, you know, and the thing that I hear about that, and then I'm gonna throw it to William for the reset, is I hear you saying that there's such an underlying passive aggressive tendency with corporate culture, where you start asking the questions, are you sure you want to do it that way? Are you sure you got that done? Are you really, the question is, I'd really like you to do it this way, right? Or I need to ask you about this. And it's always that passive aggressive tone to, I'm not really going to say what I need to say. I'm just going to make you sort of think about it. And so that that toxic relationship is so baked into so many different places, especially the worse the management gets, forget about it.
You're so right about that. You know, what we find, and then exactly what you're talking about, is the conversation needs to change. The conversation needs to be objective and not subjective. It needs to be very focused on what we've agreed on that we're going to do and how we're going to measure it. And there's so many conversations today that are not focused on what matters. So I might say to somebody, gee, you know, it looks like you missed that deadline. And they say, well, yeah, I've been really busy. You know, I'm putting in like 50 hours a week. I just have so much on my plate. Well, I see you're teleworking 2 days a week. Well, yeah, I'm teleworking. Well, is your daughter home with you? Well, you know, she's home one of the days. Well, gee, you know, maybe you should get her in daycare. Or otherwise, you might have to start coming into the office every day, because it doesn't look like you're hitting your deadline. That is the kind of crappy, bullshit conversations we're having today that are meaningless. Now, flip that conversation. The conversation would happen much differently in a results-only work environment. First of all, you don't miss a deadline and just let it go by. You know the deadline's going to be missed in advance, so you go to your manager with it and you say, hey, we're having a challenge here and hitting that deadline, and here's why we're having the challenge. This department is unable to get XYZ from the vendor, so that's slowing down visual merchandising. How can you help us? Would you be able to escalate this in this XYZ department so that we can either change that deadline or make sure that we hit that deadline? How can you help me? That's a different conversation. It's not about, is your daughter home? Have you been sick too many days? How many vacation days did you take last year? Are you working enough hours? Did you put in your 40? That stuff is what's making everybody crazy. It's called sludge. It's not focusing on what matters.
Jody, this is William. I absolutely love this conversation because on some level, you're talking about conflict, and you're asking people to run right into conflict and go ahead and let's have the hard, fierce conversations, if you will. For those that are conflict averse, how do you kind of get them over that?
Well, you know, people are conflict averse because the way that the culture works today, the work culture, makes people feel sort of anxious and resentful and afraid, because we're always afraid that we're going to get judged, right? We're going to get judged on how we're spending our time or whatever that looks like. Over time, when the conversations start flipping to results only and people start to get really clear about the work, how people feel on a daily basis and how they feel about the work and their relationship with the manager starts to shift. It's not an overnight thing. It takes a while. But as long as we have that sort of toxic language in the environment, we're always going to have that sort of feeling of being afraid of having conversations. Think about it. Think about how we all feel when we have our performance conversations once a year. It's like everybody's all, like, wigged out before their performance conversation because you haven't had any of those the whole year, and now all of a sudden you're going to sit down and have one. Or your conversations have been about, you know, the game last week, or, you know, how are your kids doing? How's the work going? Well, I think it's going okay, great, I'll see you next week. And things aren't clear. And so we all feel anxious. So that's what we need to do, William. It's just we need to get more clear over time so that people start to feel more comfortable with the right kind of conversation in terms of the work.
We would be remiss. Thank you, Jody. We would be remiss if we didn't ask you about some of your public speaking escapades, if you will. So one of the things, if you don't mind, take the audience, like, what do you try to do? Everyone's got a different bit in public speaking. What do you try to do with an audience? Like, what's some of your modus operandi? And also, best experience, worst experience in public speaking.
Okay, so what we're trying to do in public speaking, first and foremost, is wake people up. Wake up. It's time to change the game. We have to get rid of and let go of managed flexibility. We have to start really focusing on managing the work and not managing people's time. So our message is really about waking people up and having them, you know, just come face-to-face with what we're challenged with today, and what we really want is control over our time, and we have to start making moves towards that. So that's our message when we're speaking now. We've had some interesting experiences out there. Usually what we get if people feel very energized and excited and hopeful about moving into a world where they have control over their lives and their time and they can be intrinsically motivated to get the work done. But we've also had some upsetting experiences where we have little bits of melting down with managers that are in the room. So there has been a couple of times where people have stormed out of the room. And the conversation about results-only work environment, because it's so polarizing and it's very radical in people's minds and it's changing the way we think about work totally, it can make people either exhilarated or really pissed off. And I think you can guess who feels exhilarated most of the time and who feels really pissed off. And it's managers that feel pissed off because they're used to, you know, they've worked really hard, they've put in all their time, and they've jumped through all the hoops, and now they get to be a manager. And now they get to have people jump through hoops and do all that sort of thing. So they've reached this status and this level. And what we're saying to them is there's not that kind of control anymore and command and control anymore. And what you need to do is get clear with people about the work, and that's what you're going to manage now. And people aren't going to ask you if they can leave early. That's stupid. And so they feel threatened by that because it's sort of a shift in the power play. It gives power right to the people.
Well, you know, Tracy Fenton with World Blue, a democratized workforce, she was on the call a couple weeks back, and we asked her the same type of question. And that's every concept has thresholds, meaning there's places where it works and places where it doesn't work, ceilings and floors, if you will. So in your mind, in a results-only, where does it break down? What environment would you say, where culturally or even if it's geography-wise, where does this absolutely break down? Where should you not do it?
So if you have a job and you're getting a paycheck, then your number one thing should be to focus on results. So there is no job that should be managed by managing the people and not the work. I mean, when we talk about that, when we say, well, who really wants this work? Let's just throw some things out. How about with a surgeon? Can a surgeon be in a results-only work environment? Yes. Don't we want our surgeons to focus on results? I mean, I have a story about that. I was talking to a surgeon, and he said, you know, I'm in 10 hours of meetings a week, and I just cannot get focused on the patient care. And I said, well, are those meetings productive? How much of those meetings are productive? These are about 5 minutes of the 10 hours. Okay, there's a problem there because that person is spending their time not on what they need to get the best results, but because somebody's telling them they have to have these 10 hours of meetings a week, they're sitting there wasting their time. Every single job can get very clearly focused on what matters. It doesn't matter if you're a receptionist, a daycare provider, a zookeeper, a surgeon. It doesn't matter. That's what's different about this than flexibility. With a flexible work program or a telework program, you can always pick people that it won't work for. You can always say, oh, we're all going to be in a telework program now, but not you and not you and not you and not you. And then you create a hostile work environment. When everybody's focused on results, if people aren't getting results, then they don't get to work there. And that's what makes it fair.
What about environments where, I'm thinking about like salons where it's a loose confederation of freelancers or people that kind of bartend and or work heavily on tips. Like, you know, you have a lot of people in different types of industries where they get a paycheck, but the paycheck is, you know, a rounding error. Where they really make money is in their tips. Do you think it has any play there in those types of environments?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you think about going into a restaurant as a consumer or a customer, what do you want? You want to have a certain type of experience. If you get that experience, then you're going to reward the restaurant with your business. You might reward the wait staff with a tip. You might even tip the kitchen. Wouldn't that be cool? And if I'm a server, then I have a goal, so to speak, to make sure that you as the customer get served in the way that, that would make you want to come back, hit me higher, whatever that looks like. Now, you know, people say all the time, you know, how can it work if you have to actually be in a certain place? The point of a results-only work environment is getting really clear, again, about the customer that you're serving and what the metrics are in measuring whether or not you're doing a good job. And so that can transcend any position. You know, if I'm not getting good tips and somebody else is getting good tips, well, I might want to look at why. What is it about
right.
the customer experience that's missing?
Well, let's do, we've got about 3 minutes left to the show, and I wanted to do two things left. I want to bring some a little bit of attention to Brian's Twitter avatar, because he's got a new profile pic. He's used his Facebook profile changing strategies, brought that to Twitter, which I appreciate, Brian. I want to thank you for now doing that. And secondly,
all about change.
Yeah, sure. And more importantly, Jody, where can people reach out to you, and where are you going to be for the rest of the year? Like, what's your dance card look like?
So people can find me on Twitter at Jody Rowe, JodyRowe, or just pop on our website at GoRowe, GoRowe.com. Boy, the rest of the year is a little bit crazy. I'm going to be doing a couple speaking engagements. There's a telework summit in Indianapolis. I think it is 31 October, 1st and 2nd of November. I'm going to be doing a keynote there. Also going to be doing a full-day workshop at the CPA Network event the 18th of October. So that's a couple things that are happening this year. Otherwise, doing a lot of training, helping organizations move into a results-only work environment. You might want to pick up our book. We have an organization that in the last 3 years achieved 80% top-line growth by moving into a results-only work environment. So there you have it.
Well, that is Jody, offline, I'll tell you about our back channel conversation, because it is definitely
right.
more like our pre-show. Yeah, it's good stuff. So, we do have some, you know, we're just trying to figure out if in a stripper environment, would row work? I mean, we can go. Well, next show, we'll come back to that one.
I definitely
you know.
Think we should talk about that. Yeah, definitely
yeah.
talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, why not? We're all about inclusion on drive-through
right.
HR. I'm just saying.
Strippers have feelings too.
Yep, entrepreneurs. So, well, hey Jody, we got about 90 seconds left. Thank you so much for coming on. It's been an absolute pleasure hooking up via the Twitters. That is good, and you guys do great stuff. I enjoyed. You've moved well beyond above average. On today's show, so that's again we're up to inspiring, so that's good.
Awesome. Well, it was great to be with you guys today, and I'm glad that the opportunity presented itself. And go row, yeah, go row.
Absolutely. Well, folks, we're gonna roll on out. It's Friday. Enjoy the weekend. Be safe, and we will talk to you on Monday. And you know what? I think I'm actually going to find some music to play. So, Jody, have a good weekend.
Thanks.
Talk to everybody soon.